Okay, we want to welcome a couple other folks that have come in, and we're glad to have all of you here. And let me say once again, you might want to invite some of the other your friends to come and be here with us. And I don't know how long we'll continue this 8:30 service, but well, however long it lasts, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I hope you will too. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 124. Our message this morning is our help. I think most of us need help. I know when you get up in years, you need help physically, you know, and sometimes you need help other ways too. So we're going to talk about our help. And first of all, I just think we ought to just stop and pray. So let's pray and ask God to bless this message. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for all that you do for us. And Father, we pray now that you might give me understanding. Help me to preach this message in a way that will please you. You know the needs of each one of us that are gathered here in this auditorium this morning. And Father, I trust when we go home after a while that we can say, I'm glad I went to the house of God today. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to get my glasses on in case I need to read anything here in just a moment. And I trust you got your Bible with you. We'll be giving a few scriptures that maybe you'll be able to turn to and notice. Now, if you were here last Sunday, you'll notice that we preached on Psalm 17. And this psalm today, Psalm 124, in many ways, it's a lot like that psalm last Sunday. And as I told you, there were three different psalms in the book of Psalms that had reference to actually David's prayer. Now, there's lots of psalms that have reference to that same title, but there's only three that men recognize as of strong reference to David's prayer life. And so we're going to talk about this Psalm 124 today. Actually, I have noticed, and I'm sure you have too, that many preachers who are seeing their people, their spirits are low, their actions are low, they're going downhill. And so preachers are trying to preach messages that not only lift you up and encourage you, but challenge you in every way that you can. And I think that's a good thing. I think people need encouragement in this day and time. Suicides have gone up. Many different things are happening across this land. And so we need to have something from the Word of God that will encourage us and will help us. And so I'm glad that preachers are doing that. I've noticed that on television because I watch a few Baptist preachers that I know that are on television, and they're doing the same thing, and they're trying to uplift their people and give them hope. You know, we need a reason just to get out of the bed in the morning and, you know, fight the good fight of faith and do the things that God would have us to do. We're seeing things that take place today that shake people to their very foundation. I mean, you just can't believe some of the things that are happening in our day and time. I just watch some of the things on television and just shake my head. I just don't understand it. When you got people all over the world that are working hard to try to get themselves to America because they want to live that American life where you have the freedom to try to make something out of yourself and be something and accomplish things. And yet we got people right here in our country that are trying to destroy our way of life. That's sad. That is really sad. But anyway, I'm just going to keep on striving and keep on doing what I think God would have me to do and try to be a blessing and a help to people. And I ask you to do the same thing because you can encourage people along the way and you can lift them up. Now, if you've got your Bible open there to that Psalm 124, I want to read a verse in that Psalm. And like I said, the entire chapter has something to do with how God can deliver, sort of like a form letter, you might say. It gives you illustrations of what God can do and how He can help you and so on like that. But look at that verse 8, if you will, in Psalm 124. I love this verse. Listen to what it says, "Our help." That's why we titled this message this morning, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." Let's read that again. That sounds pretty good to me. "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." Amen. Amen. I'm glad about that. So that's the verse that will be sort of the background for our message this morning. When people all over the world are looking for help, we've got the verse for them. We just need to tell them that God is our help. I mean, you don't need to look to me or you don't need to look to somebody else, but God is your help, and He is willing to bless you and willing to help you. So you see, I know and I trust probably most of you have seen this very same thing. It is so much said about the name of the Lord in the Bible. You can just go to verse after verse after verse that talk about the name of the Lord. So God's people, if you're reading your Bible, it should be that you understand that we are never without hope. We are never without hope. So suicide's not an answer. Suicide, giving up and quitting and stop going to church and giving up on the things of God, that's not an answer, because we are never without hope, because the Bible says His name, that's our hope, Jesus Christ, and we thank God for that. Now, first of all, let me say, if you have bought into the world's thinking, you are, look at yourself and you know other people like this, you know, they're deep in sin. We have that all around us. We have never lived in America in a time when there was as much open rebellion and open sin. People just flaunt it before you. They live in all kinds of wickedness. All kinds of lifestyles are magnified today. And the world says, it's all okay. Hey, you better read your Bible. It's not all okay. God says we're going to have to answer to Him one day. Every man's going to have to give an answer to the Lord Jesus Christ in the end. So we need to stop thinking about this. But you know, you look around, you see people's marriages are on the rock. That's one of the dangers in our time right now. Marriages are on the rock. Your kids are out of control. We have a lot of that. A lot of people just give up on their kids, and there's a lot of that going on. And you just think, well, what's the use of trying? What's the use of going on? What's the use of me putting forth an effort when it looks like the whole world seems to be going to hell? Why should I try to do anything right and anything good? Well, I want you to hold on, friend. That's what sin has done to you. You see, when you let sin start infiltrating into your life, it will convince you there's no hope. It will convince you there's no use trying. It will convince you that, hey, you don't need to work on keeping your marriage together. You don't need to work on trying to get your kids educated in the good things of God. You just give up. And that's what a lot of people are doing. But our text says now, our help. Do you need some help in your life? Do you find yourself getting depressed? Do you find yourself getting down? Do you find yourself wanting to just quit? Well, your help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. There's another verse that's very encouraging to us, and it's found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "And she shall bring forth a son." Now, we know who that's referring to. "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, For he shall save his people from sin. Amen. Think about it. Jesus had a name given to him by God. I mean, his parents were told what to name him. And so they named him Jesus. Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son and can save anyone. I don't care how bad he is, how mean he is, how wicked it is, no matter what he's done, God can save that individual if they will come to him in faith. There's the secret right there. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. Hey, it's God that needs to get the glory and wants the glory, and it's God who gave his Son to go to Calvary, and all you've got to do is put your trust, your faith in Jesus Christ. There's hope when you know about Jesus. That's why it's so sad for people that live in places where they can't hear the gospel. They don't have it on television. They don't have it on radio. Now, that's beginning to change with the satellites and everything. But I'm going to tell you, there are still people living in darkness. They do not know the name of Jesus. But Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want to be a prophet for just a moment, because we've got such a movement in America today to change everything. You're going to find that it's not going to be long until we are forbidden to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And yet he is the only way to heaven. So I'm praying that God's preachers will not let this world intimidate them, and we'll always remember, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This morning, if anybody's lost and undone, and they have a desire to know God and his salvation, then here's a verse for you. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through. It's Jesus that will bring us into that place of salvation and peace with God. You'll notice in that verse those three words there, peace with God. Now, a lot of people try to connect that to feeling. Oh, how do you feel? Well, let me tell you, there'll be days when you don't feel like you're right with God. There'll be days when you feel disgusted and so on. But the thing is, where this verse says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God is not a feeling, it is a standing. In other words, I have peace with God, not because I feel good, but because the Word of God says I'm saved. And so I'm just standing on the Word. That's what we ought to do, just stand on the Word. And so you can have peace with God. And my friends, that peace is a wonderful thing to know. When I lay my head down at night, if I die in the nighttime, I'll wake up in heaven. In other words, I know where I'm going. Like the Apostle Paul, he said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Are you persuaded that you're a child of God? Well, if not, you should put your faith in Jesus and you can have that peace with God. Understanding the Bible, names have meanings. Now, I've talked about this before because I am named after a mouse, you know, Mickey Mouse. I will say one thing about being named after a mouse. That mouse is popular. He's known all over the world. He's got theme parks. He's everywhere. He's the most well-known mouse in the world, and I'm named after him. Actually, I had an aunt that picked out that name for me, and so on. It's very important. I know nowadays we don't do much like this, but it's very important when you pick out a name for your children. You see, back in the Old Testament in Jewish time, the Jewish people picked out names for their children, and the name represent what they desired for their children, what they wanted their children to be. If you look in the world today, you'll find that there's many Jewish people that have invented and have done great things in the world because the Jewish moms and dads prayed over them and asked God to bless them, and God has blessed them. And so I think we are to learn something about that ourselves. And we are to, you know, start praying over our kids and asking God to bless them and use them and open up their minds and let them be, you know, great and do great things. You know, if I was still pastoring today, and I would do something. I did this before, but I didn't do it on a regular basis up in Colorado. But two times a year, I would give an invitation to my congregation. And I would say, Mom and Dad, get your children, bring them down here to the front, make you a little circle, hold hands. And they could stand across the building, you know, a family there, a family there, a family there, a family over there, and so on. And then I would say to the moms and dads, we're going to play a verse on the two on the piano. And while we're playing this verse or two, I want you to pray over your kids and ask God to do great things in their life, work in their life. And I tell you, I believe that would be well. We could pray things like their health. My, wouldn't that be good to pray over your kids for their health? You could pray over them that they would have a great marriage. Pray over them about that. You could pray that they would be fruitful and, you know, be successful and do great things. Think about that. It's worked for the Jewish people. I'll guarantee you it would work for us too if we would spend more time praying over our kids when they're young. Let them hear Dad say, God, make him or her a great person. Let them receive a good education. Let them keep themselves clean and help them to walk in a moral way and help them to do the things that you want them to do in life. Let them have wisdom. Boy, I tell you what, I regret that I did not do that consistently back in my younger days, but I'll tell you one thing, it would be a great thing. When this verse is true with you, it's a wonderful thing. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Those that believe on his name. You see, when we come into a relationship with Christ, then we are associated. We are connected to him. And you know, what is the first thing that somebody should do after they get saved? The first thing they should do is present themselves for baptism. You go ask any missionary, and he say the hardest thing to do on the mission field is to get a convert in the water, because then they feel that if I get in that baptistry, it will let everybody know that I'm a Christian, and it will might hurt my family that because they are not believers. Well, let me tell you, that's not the point. Had you rather offend somebody down here, or had you rather offend God? Let me tell you, baptism is a wonderful thing. It's the answer of a good conscience towards God. The Bible tells us that when we get saved, the next step ought to be baptism, and this will identify us with our Heavenly Father, and we are to be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 will tell you that. So we need to read it. So when we come into a relationship with God, we need to be what? Baptized. Then we are to order our lives. You see, Christians don't do that very often, but we need to order our life. in a very special way. What you do every day ought to honor God. What you do in your life ought to honor God. Where you work and what you accomplish, it ought to honor God. If it's not honoring God, it's not a good thing. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "Let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Oh, yeah. So if you are a Christian, you're supposed to depart from the things of this world, and you're supposed to be the way God wants you. That's why the Apostle Paul, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, he said, "Come out from the world. Come out from the world." Oh, you know, the truth is you can't tell the difference between church people sometimes and the world out there. It ought to be noticeable if you're a believer, if you've been saved and you're a child of God, it ought to be noticeable that you have come out from the world and you've separated yourself. "Well, I don't want to leave my friends." Well, God will give you some new friends. And so you need to come out. So we need to order our lives in a very godly way in doing those things that are pleasing to God. There's something else that is associated with His name that ought to be something that you would certainly want to do in this time of your life. There are many promises made of answered prayer by that name. And we know that when we pray, we usually end our prayers with "in Jesus' name." Well, in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 16, part of the verse says that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. So you need to pray in the name of Jesus. You need to pray in that name because that's the way we've been told in the Scripture to pray. I've heard people just end their prayers in a blunt, you know, just praying for God to save them but to rescue them and get them out of trouble, and then they just end the prayer. That prayer's not going to be answered. We're told in the Word of God over and over again, when you pray, pray in Jesus' name. There's power in that name. That name has power. Ooh, my goodness, it has power. Well, there's something else, my friends, that we need to recognize, and that is how good it is that our lives at this time, you see, as we go through life, now I've been around for 85 years. I've never known a time like the time that we're in right now. I've been in some unusual times. I've lived through some times of depression. I've lived through some times when, you know, things weren't good. You couldn't find a job. You couldn't do this or that. I've lived through those times. But I've never lived through a time like it is right now. I've noticed in the last few weeks that even God's people are getting nervous. We're getting nervous about this. We're getting nervous. We're getting fearful. You know what the devil's able to do with this? He's beginning to separate us. Separate us. You know, we're the strongest when we're together. When we're together, we're the strongest. And I'm just talking about in spiritual things. I'm not talking about, you know, hugging each other or shaking hands. That's not what makes us brothers and sisters. The thing that makes us brothers and sisters is our faith in God. We are brothers and sisters. We're associated with each other. You're not bigger than me, and I'm not bigger than you. I'm not more important than you, and you're not more important than me. We're all important to God. God says each one of us. You know what God calls you? Think about this. God calls you His child. Isn't that marvelous? I've always been proud of my dad and mama. I'm not saying they were perfect or anything like that. I'm just saying I'm proud of my dad. One of the greatest privileges I had in my life is that in Yakima, Washington, my dad got saved in one of my services, and I baptized my dad. I'm proud of that. I'm glad. My daddy was not an educated man. He was not anybody really important or anything like that, but he was my dad. And I want to tell you something. I have a Father in heaven. I'm proud of him. And I want to honor him. I want my life to have some meaning for the cause of Christ. And I know you do too. If you're born again, it's just natural. We want to honor God. We want to accomplish something for God. We want to please Him in every way we can, and so on. So let me say, you and I are to thank God this morning that we have that privilege of prayer. Use it. Use it when you're discouraged. Use it when you're down. Pray to God, because I believe God can help you. Now, I want to go to another verse, and I put it in my notes that this was the last verse, but it's actually not. I lied to you if I said that. But anyway, I want to go to this verse in our closing part of the sermon, and it's found in the Old Testament in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4. So if you got your Bible, I'll give you a second and look at Proverbs chapter 30 with me, if you will. And here's what it says in verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Think about that. Who hath bound the waters in a garment? My goodness. Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Isn't that strange? When I read that, I really hadn't put much notice to it in the past. But notice what he says there. He says, who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell. Well, I think it's wonderful that our God has a name and his son has a name. And I'm going to look at that just for a moment and give you a few thoughts along that thought line of thought. When Moses was asked, when he asked God his name, you remember what God said to Moses? He said, I am that I am. That's in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. Then in verse 15, listen to what he said. This is my name forever. This is my name forever. So we know God, his name is forever. It's forever. Now, we find in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 3, the name Lord. Now, the name Lord means Jehovah or Yahweh, and it means essentially, listen to this now, it means essentially this, I am the self-existing one. That's your God, the self-existing one. What a God we have. Just think about the greatness of God. I know it's hard in these little fleshly bodies we have and all the failures and disappointments that we have in our life to look up and think about a holy, righteous God, and He will be that way forever, ever. Well, what about His Son's name? Well, we have in the Old Testament prophecy of His name. You know what the Bible says in the Old Testament? It says His name is called Wonderful. Wonderful. When you write letters, you might say that to somebody. Oh, you're so wonderful. Well, that is true when it comes to our wonderful Jesus. And He says, you're a counselor. Then He says, you're a mighty God. Then He says, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's all found in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. But let's come back to this thought here. The angel commanded Joseph. Now, Joseph would be the stepfather of Jesus. Jesus did not have any worldly or sinful man's blood in him. So Joseph actually was just his stepfather, and we know who was the one that placed the seed into Mary, because the Bible tells us that, and we'll look at it in just a moment. The angel commanded Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus," and that means Jehovah saves. That's what Jesus does. That's why Jesus came. That's why he went to Calvary. That's why he laid down his life. That's why he shed his blood. That's why we say it over and over again throughout the days that we're in. Jesus saves. Think about the songs that they wrote about why Jesus came. Jesus came with a purpose. You see, that name Jesus means that Jehovah saves. And then he was also called Emmanuel. And you know what that name means. You've heard it before. God is with us. So God is with us. If we've got the name of Jesus and we use the name of Jesus, then God is with us. God is with us. Think about that. Why would you worry if God is with you? Why would you worry that you're going to run out of finances if God is with you? Why would you worry about, you know, anything if God is with you? Is your God big enough to take care of your daily problems? Is your God big enough to sustain you in hard times? Is your God big enough to lift you up when you're down? Is your God big enough to touch you and heal you? Well, the God I know, he can do all of that because he is with me in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. God's Son has many titles, many titles. One that we see in connection with his final return in triumph. His name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. You'll find that in the book of Revelation. Everybody likes the book of Revelation. And I'm going to turn over there and I'm going to read you a verse here. Revelation 19 and verse 13. Listen, he was clothed with a vesture dripping in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Ooh, that's a powerful verse right there. Amen. You know, somebody years ago got a revelation, they thought, on this verse, and they said that Jesus Christ had a tattoo on his body. A tattoo on his body. Now, I don't want to be critical because, you know, that's a culture that has just slipped into America. Now people just tattoo themselves everywhere. I mean, they've got lots of them. I want to just say, in my defense, my body was so beautiful to God, he didn't want me to put anything on it. I don't have no tattoos. I don't plan on having any tattoos. Now, my daddy did. He had one little small tattoo, but he was wise enough to put it where nobody could see it. And so I know that we're in a different world today. My. But I'm just thankful that I was so perfect when God made me that he didn't ask me to cover anything up or scar my body up or mark it up with this or that. And if you want to do that, that's your business. But I'm perfect. I am perfect, so I don't have to do that. Amen. Amen. Now, this identification with him as both Creator and the incarnated Savior, God's Son. You know, you read in chapter 1 of John there about the Word, and we know that the Word is God, you see. And that's why we worship our Jesus Christ, because he is God's Word. This is his Word right here, and Jesus also in the flesh paid that price for our sins. I want you to notice in Revelation chapter 19, if you will, looking at verse, I believe, about, let me get the right verse, Revelation 19 and verse 16, I believe. Yeah, here it is. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nation, and he shall rule with a rod of iron, and he treadeth upon the winepress of the fierce fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And listen to this now, verse 16. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's where that preacher got the revelation, he thought, that Jesus had a tattoo on his thigh. But if you've ever seen me do this, you know that that's not right. That's not right. You see, Jewish people, especially rabbis, they wore a prayer shawl. They wore a prayer shawl. And if you know anything about the Jewish prayer shawl, you know it has tassels on the bottom of it. And those tassels have knots tied into them. And those numbers and have meaning of letters. And so what we have, when he comes back, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to have his prayer shawl with him. I have one at home. I usually demonstrate it with wearing it over my shoulders. And you'll notice that when you wear that prayer shawl sitting up on a horse, that side of the prayer shawl comes down on your thigh. And the numbers in those tassels, they say what we have right here. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My, what an illustration that is about our Savior. What a name. What a name our God has. It should be no surprise that David would tell us in the hard times that we're in that we remember our help is in the name of the Lord. And I want to say this morning, if you need help, then I want to point you to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This Bible is filled with all that he can do for you and all that he will do for you because of who you are. You see, if you're a child of God, you're somebody very special. You know, one of the greatest things that I believe that the church needs today is for us to understand that we're somebody special. We're somebody important. God is concerned about you. He's concerned about me. We need to understand that. It's very important. So I want you to walk out of this building this morning, and I want you to go home. When you go home, I want you to go home with the knowledge that as a child of God, you have help. You have somebody to be with you, somebody to encourage you along the way. And his name is Jesus, and that name means that he will save you. He wants to help you. Give him a chance. He'll do it. Let's bow our heads, and would you stand with me, and we'll just have a closing word of prayer. And you, if you have a need, why don't you pray as I pray and just ask God to bless you and help you. And don't get discouraged. Don't get down. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because God wants to help you. Heavenly Father, I confess this morning that even myself, there are times when I get down, times when I wonder if I make any difference at all. And God, it's in times like this that I realize it's true. I don't have any power, any strength that does not come from you. And so, Father, today, we each one have that power in us by the Holy Ghost to be a strong testimony and to be an encouragement to others. Help us to lift up that one that needs to be lifted up this morning. Let us have a word that will bless them and will help them. And Father, let us never forget what David said in Psalm 124, our help is in the name of the Lord. Bless us now, Father. We thank you again for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay faithful. God will bless you for it.